There's a bit of a theme going on today as we sang songs. Of course, Justin didn't know this, but as we were singing, we were talking about giving God true worship. And there's a theme today that I'm focusing on about giving. And we're wanting to give Him our true worship, give God our best worship, give God our best praises. And of course, Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and we're wanting to do what we're wanting to give thanks. And so we've been talking about giving thanks, giving worship. And I'm kind of continuing that idea in terms of giving. Midweek on Wednesday, those are some of my favorite meetings. I get to meet with everybody in a more casual environment, and we talk about the doctrines of the church, Bible study. I love midweek meeting. And then afterwards, I get to hang out with the youth, and it's fun just to see the energy of our young people. And this week they had run out and gave the Thanksgiving baskets that we had prepared the week before, and they went out and I think it was 6 or 7 Thanksgiving baskets that we gave into the community, or they did it, and then I got to talk with them about it afterwards, and as they were kind of cleaning up, and it was just so much excitement and so much just energy, just from being able to serve, being able to give. So I loved it, and of course, going along with that, during our midweek doctrinal study that we had, we're almost at the end of it. We're almost concluding all the statements of faith that we have. We've only got a couple more. But this time we talked about Christian living. And of course, Christian living is obedience to God. It's obedience to His Word. It's saying, once I'm born again, once I'm saved, once I know Jesus, there's more to Christianity than just that. And a part of Christian living is doing what? It's giving. We talked about tithe, and we talked about the offerings, the tithe being that 10% that comes from our increase that we set aside and give to God. And that's an act of obedience. We want to do that because we're being faithful to His Word. His Word teaches it. There's instruction on it. And so we're being faithful to God's Word. And of course, there anything that we give above and beyond that, we call it offerings. But it's just, you know, whatever we feel compassion compelled, our heart just wants us to give. So tithe and offerings. We talked about that on Wednesday, and it was fun to see the young people who just had gone out and had given, and we're talking about Thanksgiving, giving thanks, and giving God our best praises and God our worship, and it's all an act of giving. In the Philippian church, the church there in Philippi, they had kind of caught this heart. They had in their mind and their heart that they wanted to be givers. And Paul was very excited about this. They had learned about financial giving. They had learned about taking up offerings and giving it to the Lord. And they were being faithful. And Paul was in prison as he was writing to the church of Philippi. And they were giving to Paul because being in prison, those prisons weren't like our prisons nowadays. And so they were helping to take care of Paul while he was in prison. And he was blessed by it. And he was rejoicing because he was being taken care of. But he was also rejoicing because the church there in Philippi had captured this heart, this mindset when it comes to giving. And my question for you this morning, have you discovered the joy of giving? Have you discovered the joy in giving to the Lord and giving your best and even giving financially? Or is it one of those things that becomes a dread, becomes something of a grief? It almost is a burden to you to give. Or have you discovered the joy that comes with giving to the Lord? Giving is a biblical instruction, and it should be joyful. It should be done with thankfully and rejoicing, and it shouldn't be a dread. It shouldn't be a begrudgery. It shouldn't be something that causes us grief, but it should be done joyfully. This comes from Paul, who says in Philippians 4:6-7, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, and here Paul is kind of telling them, you don't need to worry about this stuff. You don't need to worry about what's happening tomorrow. You don't need to worry about your finances, and you don't need to, but rather have God's peace, rather have His joy, rather have don't have grief or dread about life. God will take care of it. God will take care of you as you seek God, as you look to Him for your provision, and as you look to Him for taking care of all those things that stress you out. Don't have grief. Don't have dread. God will take care of it. And money, friends, money, bills, money is something that stresses us out. That's me. Money is something that stresses us out. We stress so much about money, making money, what's going to happen to the money, bills, hospital bills, bills to pay for the ambulance that comes to pick up, bills to just to pay your utility bills. We stress about paying broke teeth. We stress about, we're taking care of a dog right now. Dogs are so expensive. And the stray showed up, and so we're trying to fix it up. It had red mange, and it's so expensive. We dropped so much money just on this little dog just to fix it up. But it just stresses. Money stresses us out. Broke marriages, and there's costs that come when you're getting married. There's lots of costs that come when you're losing that marriage. We stress out so much about finances, or maybe you're just plain broke, and that'll stress you out too. Money can be a stress. And my encouragement to you this morning, just like Paul encourages us, don't worry about anything. Give it to God. Give all that stress. Give all that anxiety. Give all that fear. Give all that worry to Him. Let Him know about it. And in return, get His peace. Get His joy. Get His attitude on everything. Instead of anxiety, instead of dread, instead of fear, Paul teaches us, and especially when it comes to giving, Paul teaches us to have a different attitude towards giving. And in verse 9, he says to them and to the church in Philippi there, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So everything that he had taught them, and he set the example for it, Paul modeled his behavior. He preached it, he taught it, he modeled it. He said, why don't you keep doing what I did? Why don't you keep doing what I was doing? Keep keeping on. He says, then those blessings of joy and those blessings of peace will be with you. What does he say? The God of peace. The God of peace will be with you. We dread so much about our bills, we dread so much about our finances, and we dread so much about knowing what tomorrow is going to happen. And God says, don't worry about tomorrow, I've got it taken care of. Instead, give it to me. Seek me first. And Paul here says, model after me. Keep doing what I told you to do. Keep doing what I taught you to do. Keep doing what I was doing, and the God of peace will be with you. So today in our text, we'll see Paul's heart when it comes to giving. We're talking about giving today. We want to see Paul's heart when it comes to giving. Today I want to show you five ways that giving is a ministry. Five ways that giving is a ministry. So number one, giving is a ministry of care. Look at verse 10. If you have your Bibles, open them up. If your Bible apps, or if you just want to follow on the screen. Verse 10, ministry, giving is a ministry of care. How I praise the Lord, Paul says, that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Their concern led them to give. Philippi was a giving church, and they were taking care of Paul, and they were concerned. They weren't able to help him, and he says it was their he praised the Lord for their concern. So they couldn't give, and now they're giving, all because of their care and because of their concern. Giving affects our passions. When we give to something, we become interested in that. If you are somebody that invests, become interested in that investment. Giving affects our passions, and our passions in turn affect our giving. What we're interested in, what we're passionate about, is what we give towards, is what we invest our time and invest our energy and invest our money in. Giving affects our passions and in turn affects our giving. We should be passionate. As believers, we should be passionate about Christ. We should be passionate about the cross. We should be passionate about God's kingdom. We should be passionate about the building of His church, spreading the gospel. We should be passionate that the gospel is being spread, that people are able to hear the gospel message. And it takes money to make ministries work. It takes money to make churches work. It takes income and giving. We should be passionate about worship. We should be passionate about helping others and helping others grow in their faith. Money, of course, can blur our vision towards others. It's unfortunate, but it's true. When we have money, can cause us to focus on the money and to focus on what that money goes towards instead of seeing the needs of the people, instead of seeing the need of the gospel. Instead, we see that money. There was a man, a rich man, that went to a counselor for help, and the counselor tells him to look through the window. They're up on several floors up, and he tells him to look through the window and look down at what he can see, and he says, "Well, I see the people." And so then he takes him over to a mirror, and he says, "What do you see now?" And he says, "I see myself." And the counselor says, "You know, the only difference, they're both made out of glass. The only difference is a little bit of silver that gets put on the back of that glass, and suddenly you don't see the people anymore. You see yourself." The same thing is true when it comes to money. Suddenly we become blinded to what's around us. Instead, we become focused on ourselves and our make of the money and what the money goes towards. They couldn't help. They were worried about Paul. They were concerned. They couldn't help. We have opportunities to help. And I'm thankful for that. We have opportunities in the church and outside of the church where we can help people, help individuals, help the gospel be spread. There's so many ways that we can get involved and help here in the church and outside of it. And of course, within the church, we take up tithes and we take up offerings, and that's what the money goes towards. The church is not a money-making industry. We're not a money-making business. Rather, the money that comes in goes to help the church. It goes to help the people. And we have so many opportunities where we can give. In Philippi, they couldn't give. Your care for God, your care for God's work and God's workers should be a passionate reason enough for giving. That should be a passionate reason. As you consider God's people, as you consider the gospel being spread, that should excite you as a believer, and you should be passionate about giving towards that. Number two, giving is a ministry of faith. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, "Not that I was ever in need," Paul says, "for I have learned how to be content." And that's an interesting statement, actually. Not that I was ever in need. Paul had needs. But he wasn't focused on the needs. Instead, he says, I've learned to be content with whatever I have. Paul learned to lean on the Lord in whatever situation he was in. Paul learned to lean on the Lord and to be happy with God's provision. He relied on God, and he trusted God, but he learned to be content. He learned to be happy with whatever was provided. Giving requires us to trust God's provision. It requires, the question comes up, and we talked about this on Wednesday, the question comes up, do I pay my bills, or do I give tithe and offering to the Lord? Do I pay for the groceries? How am I going to make ends meet, or do I give as the Lord commands me to give, my tithe and my offerings? Obedience says give. Our obedience and our faithfulness to the Lord says give. Give to the Lord. And faith says God will supply. Fear says, I need this money because of what's going on. I need this money in this case. Faith says, I will give and trust in the Lord. Today, I want to encourage you to put your faith in the Lord and to be obedient to the Lord in your giving. I want to encourage you to trust in God's word and trust that he will take care of you as you give. Put your faith in him and his faithfulness. God's been faithful to me and my wife. You know, we haven't always known how we were going to pay the bills. There's been times, like when we were living in Arkansas, that we weren't quite sure how we were going to pay the bills. But I'll tell you this one thing. My wife and I, we learned to trust in the Lord. And I'm a radical faith person. So I trusted in the Lord, even though I didn't know how I was going to pay the bills. But God always took care of us. Each and every time. The bills were always paid. There was always There was always propane in the propane tank so we could have heat in the middle of the winter. There was always food in the fridge. God took care of us. I learned through all of that. I don't want to speak for my wife, but I learned through all that, learning to be content with the Lord, learning to trust Him, learning that He will take care of me through it all. God is absolutely faithful, and I want to encourage you today, as you consider your faithfulness in giving, as you consider your faithfulness in being obedient to the Lord, trust in the Lord. Trust in His word. Put your faith in Him. Yet Paul was content regardless, the Bible says. He was content. Yes, he had needs. He was in prison. He had needs. Paul was content. There was a man who was moving into a house across from another gentleman, and the gentleman watched as they were bringing everything in. They brought in really nice furniture, really nice couches, and really nice computer parts, and really nice, everything was nice coming in. He had so much stuff they were bringing in, load after load after load, and finally this neighbor hollers over. He says, neighbor, if there's anything you don't have, I'll teach you how to live without it. We need to point this. We need to learn to be content with what God has given us. God is supplying. God is taking care of us, but we need to learn to be content. Can you learn to live with that? Can you learn to live without that big TV? Can you learn to live without that brand new truck? Can you learn to live without that brand new beautiful furniture? Can you learn to live without it? Can you learn to be content with what God has given? One of the Ten Commandments talks about covetousness. The Lord does not want us to covet our neighbor's stuff. Can you learn to be content with whatever God has provided for you in your life, what you have worked for, what you have got, and can you learn to be content with that? Happiness in God's faithfulness begins when we learn to be content, when we learn to be happy with God, what God has given. To be thankful, when we learn to be thankful for what God has given, but when we learn to live with what we don't have, when we learn to be happy even when we don't have that stuff, we're still happiness. We're still happy. That's what happiness is, learning to be thankful for what we have and thankful for what we don't. I don't know if that made sense. It made sense in my mind when I said it. A ministry of care, a ministry of faith. Number three. Giving is sharing in the ministry. Giving is sharing in the ministry. Look at verse 14. Paul says, even so, he's talking about being content with whatever he has. He says, even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. See, Paul had needs. He says he wasn't focused on his needs, but he says, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. Paul was in prison, and they supplied his needs. Prison was a bad place to be. It was not a place you wanted to be, and they took care of Paul. Paul was often suffering for the gospel. He was suffering wounds. He was suffering rejection. He was suffering humiliation. He had suffered stoning. He suffered hunger. Paul was suffering for the gospel. Paul was grateful for those that gave to him, those that took care of him, those that supplied for him, even as he was in prison. Ministry can be a tough assignment. Ministry is not always easy. I don't want to say it is. It can be a financial burden to ministers who aren't able to provide for their family because they have to take a second job as they're ministering. Ministry can be a financial burden. It can be stressful. It can be stressful as you're trying to deal with people and their needs. It can be lonely, as you're often working on sermons by yourself or you are ministering by yourself. It can be lonely. And often ministers will talk about Satan's attack on their family and the frustrations that happen because the enemy is attacking as they're trying to minister. And yet, ministry is equally rewarding. It is very rewarding. It is fulfilling as you fulfill your call to do what God has called you to do. It is joy-filled. There's so much joy in ministry. And so there's a big reward when it comes to ministry. And perhaps today, God is tugging at your heart and saying He wants you to get involved. He wants you to be a part of the ministry that's going on. I would say yes. Yes, it can be tough. And Paul understood it could be tough. Paul was sitting in prison at the time. Paul understood that ministry can be tough, but it's so rewarding and so fulfilling as we do what God has called us to do. If he tugs at your heart to get involved in anything the church is doing or any ministry like that, say yes. Say yes. If God tugs at your heart to preach or to pastor or to teach or to start a ministry, say yes. Yes, it can be tough. Yes, there are stress. Yes, there is money that gets invested into it, and so there's a burden of that. But say yes. It is so rewarding and so fulfilling. Just be prepared, and a fair warning, be prepared for the difficult times. Here Paul is in prison. And Paul says, you've done well to share with me. Giving is a way to help in the ministry. Giving is a way to, ministers just can't do it on their own. They can't financially do it on their own. And so giving away is a way to help ministers. It's a way to help the ministry, to fund the ministry. Giving supports the supplies for the ministry. It supports the curriculum that we teach. It goes to pay for gas to take kids to camp. It goes to pay for the van to take kids to camp. Giving supports, it meets the needs of the church. It supports the building of the church. It supports on and on and on and on, et cetera, et cetera. Giving in the ministry is sharing in the ministry. You are becoming a part of that ministry when you give. Paul says, you've done well to share with me. When you give, you share in the ministry, you share in the good times, because you're investing into it. You share in the good times, you share in the difficult times. You are a part of that ministry when you give. Ministry of care, ministry of faith, sharing in the ministry. Number four, giving is a ministry of worship. It's a ministry of worship. Look at verse 17 and verse 18. Paul says, I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Read that again. He says, they are a sweet-smelling sacrifice. What does he say? That are acceptable to God. Acceptable to God. I remember when one of my former pastors, Lynn Taylor, when he took over as pastor, we had the offering box in the back like we do now, and he decided he wanted to bring in the offering plate. And I remember him specifically, none of those changes really mattered as much as this one thing he told me. He says, because I asked him, why are we bringing in the offering plate? He said, because giving is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Now, I'm not opposed to how we do it, and I'm not opposed to how he does it when it comes to giving. Giving is giving in my mind. But it is an act of worship. It is sacrifice to the Lord. First and foremost, it is an act of sacrifice. We're sacrificing, what is money? Money equals time, right? So by giving, we're sacrificing our time. And what is it that you could have done with that time? You could have spent more time with family. You could have spent more time playing games. You could have spent more time buying those toys, spent the money on the toys to buy. There's a sacrifice there. You could have spent that money in so many different ways. You are sacrificing those things that you could have done or you could have spent that money on. You're sacrificing that, saying, I'm giving it to the Lord instead. I'm being obedient to the Lord. And so it is a sacrifice. We think about the woman that Jesus was watching. He had watched the leaders of Israel come, and they would dump in tons of money into the treasury. But then you remember that woman that she had nothing, and she gave everything that she had. And Jesus was so amazed by what this woman did because she gave all that she had. It meant so much more because of the sacrifice. Giving is sacrifice. It's an act of worship. And God calls our sacrifice pleasing. Paul says it here. It's sweet smelling, and he says it's acceptable to God. Them giving, them supplying, helping to take care of them, them giving in whatever manner that they gave, and he says sweet smelling and pleasing to the Lord. It is an act of worship to give. The paper itself, if you're giving money, the paper is not sacred. Your obedience is sacred. The offering box back there is not sacred. Your surrender to God is what is sacred. Our church's bank account is not sacred, but it's your love for God, and it's your love for God's work which is sacred. It's not the paper, it's not the box, it's not our bank account, but it is what is your act of worship to God, your love for God that matters. It is your act of worship. Ministry of care, ministry of faith, sharing in the ministry, an act of worship. Number five, let's look at this last one. Giving is a rewarding ministry. Rewarding ministry. Up to this point, I've talked about you giving out of faithfulness. You giving out because you put your faith and your trust in God, because God has commanded you to give. That is our reason, our motivation. But there's a blessing that comes for giving. Look at verse 19. Paul says, this same God. I like that. I like how that reads. That's how I try to live my life. That's how I try to live my Christianity. I try to believe that he is the same God for me that he was for the apostles, that he was for the prophets. This same God, the same God who is faithful to them, is faithful to you and me today. This same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Paul was rejoicing in their giving. He was praising the Lord for their giving. This Philippians is actually a very joy-filled book, a very joy-filled letter that he was writing. The word joy and alternative words for joy show up, I think it's like 20-something times in this epistle alone. This same God, he's rejoicing in their giving, he's rejoicing in their love, he's rejoicing in their faith, all the things we're talking about today. And he said, and says, Paul knew God's supply. Paul knew God was the supplier. Paul knew that God took care of him. Even when he was in prison, Paul knew where his source was coming from. Yes, he was rejoicing for the Philippians' giving, but he was thanking God for his supply. This same God. And he wanted them to share in that joy. He wanted them to rejoice with them. He is the same God today. The same holiness that God had back then, God has today. The same faithfulness that God had back then, God has today. This same God, the same forgiveness of sin that God had in the gospel, is the same forgiveness of sin he has today. The same salvation is the same today. The same faithfulness, the same supply. He is the same today, this same God. It is my joy, my absolute joy, to believe that God is the same. It is a joy. It is not a burden to say he is the same. In fact, it fills me with faith. It fills me with hope to know and to believe that God is the same today as he was yesterday and the day before and a millennia ago. This same God that should fill you with hope and joy and fill you with faith as you continue to trust in him, knowing this same God, the same for Paul, the same for the Philippians, the same for you and me. And Paul said, I give and God supplies. This same God. I give and God takes care of me. He supplies all my needs. When you give, and I can just hear Paul saying this to the Philippians, when you give, guess what? God supplies. God takes care of you as well. How? Because he is God. He has everything. He owns everything. And he's the same God for me who supplies for me as he will for you too. How do we have access to this supply that Paul is talking about? Let me list out four ways very quickly. Well, first of all, being obedient and faithful to God. Being obedient, and it's what we're talking about today. Our obedience, our faithfulness to God gives us access to God's supply. Number two, following the process. Paul's talking about giving and the reward. Talking about in Malachi, talking about giving our tithes and God opens up the windows of heaven in Malachi chapter 3. Following the process, such as giving. Number three, believing and trusting in His faithfulness. Putting your faith and trust in God, who will take care of you, who will supply for you. And last of all, before all of that, this should have been number one, but I made it number four, giving your heart and your life to Jesus. Giving your heart and your life to Jesus. Paul says, all this, because you is given to us, all of this is given to us, what does he say? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Look at verse 19 again. Just look at it real quick. This same God, I want you to read this with open eyes, with an open heart, with a fresh mind and fresh spirit here today. This same God who takes care of me. Paul knew God's faithfulness. Paul knew God was faithful to him and he would be faithful to them, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. God owns everything, guys. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills and way beyond that. He owns everything, which has been given to us. And what does he say? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. It begins with a relationship that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have it without him. You don't have it without Jesus. Today is your day to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never done so before, today is your day, and that can be your reward. Eternal life. What is your reward? What is his supply? Well, for those that surrender their life to Jesus, it's eternal life. It's his spirit in you. It's his joy. It's his peace that all comes from having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, and we started this message out today, Paul says, the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. I believe in God's supply for my needs, absolutely. I believe that God takes care of me. I believe he takes care of you. I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That this same God who takes care of Paul, takes care of the church in Philippi, takes care of me and takes care of you. But today, your need might go deeper than anything that money can reach. Your need might be deeper than any bill that you have to pay. Today, you need Jesus to touch your life. Perhaps that is the reward that you need today. God doesn't need your cash. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills and way beyond that. God doesn't need your money. But as we give, we are caring for his work. We're caring for his ministry. We're taking part in that. We are using our passions to give, and as we give, it encourages our passions. We care about God's work because we believe in God. As we give, we are putting our faith in God to bless it. That by giving, that God is blessing that money that we give, but God's also blessing the work that we're trying to accomplish. As we give, we are sharing in the ministry, taking part in the ministry. As we give, we're expressing our worship to God. We are worshiping it. It's an act of sacrifice. And as we give, God blesses you when you give. Such privileges, and I'm going to close with this final thought here. Such privileges fill our hearts with joy. Or it should. So I began this message today with the question, have you discovered the joy of giving? It should fill our hearts with joy because God supplies. God is a rewarder. God takes care of us. And it is an act of obedience. It's an act of worship to give. And it should be a joyful act. I want to encourage you today to consider the joy of the ministry of giving. Amen.